The characteristics of those who fear the Lord. As we look at the lesson today, let's pray first of all that we would be the kind of people that regardless of what's going on in our life, we will trust the Lord. We will fear Him in all things. Father, we come before You asking that You take this passage of Scripture that we'll be looking at today. And Lord, help it to get inside of us and so transform us that, Lord, when bad things happen, we would never question Your credibility. We would never question Your character. And Father, we thank You that truly what You say, we can stand upon. Your Word is truth. And we thank You, Father, now as the Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts, that we can just give You all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. We have seen that Habakkuk had a lot of questions. God does not have to answer us. If we know God, then we know we can trust God. If you love God, you can trust Him. You see, there are two people groups in history. There are the children of Israel that history centers around, and then the believers of the New Covenant. And those of us that are in the New Covenant can go back and understand that Israel was really a picture of the vine of flesh. Now, it's a nation, and God is not finished with Israel, as we studied in Daniel. And I believe with all of my heart that one day He's going to bring them back at the end of the 70th week of Daniel. They'll come back and cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and thus Israel shall be saved. But we can learn from Israel. If you want to know what your flesh is all about, go back and study the life of Israel. And we can gain so much insights into that which causes us to mistrust God and to doubt God. One of the passages of Scripture that we just touched on in one of the earlier lessons is one that I want to develop in this one. Before we move on to God's answer to Habakkuk in chapter 2, I think that is coming on down the road. But let's look at this right now. Turn, if you will, to Isaiah chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50, as we talk about the characteristics of those who fear the Lord. What are they like? We need to understand this in light of our own circumstances and certainly as we study the book of Habakkuk. If you study the whole book of Isaiah, it's basically in three divisions. Chapter 1 through chapter 35 and verse 10 has to do with the prophecies and particularly those concerning judgments and condemnation for rebelliousness of Israel. In chapter 36 through chapter 39, we have the historical material that's very helpful as you go through that in finding out what's going to take place in the future as to when it was written. And then in chapter 40 through chapter 46, you have the prophecies of the comfort that's going to come to Israel. And it's a real precious place to look because in that place we find the text that we're going to look at today. It's in the 53rd chapter we find those great passages about the Lord Jesus coming, and we find all the prophecies of the Messiah beginning to fall right in this particular area. Well, in chapter 50 and verses 10 and 11, these two verses are the focus of what we want to look at. Isaiah says, "Who is among you that fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of His servant?" And most people believe the servant there is a future reference to the Lord Jesus Christ who will come, and we'll speak of that. "That walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God." Verse 11 says, "Behold, all of you who kindle a fire, who encircle yourselves with firebrands, walk in the light of your fire, and among the brands you have set ablaze. This you will have from my hand, and you will lie down in torment." Now let's just look at this for a minute, because it's so practical. It leaps right out of our understanding of what Habakkuk is going through, and yet it becomes very realistic to what we have to face from day to day. First of all, what does it mean to fear the Lord? Well, the word has several aspects to it. It has to do with awe. It has to do with somewhat with terror. Some people say it doesn't, but yes, it does. In other words, we know that with God, there are certain lines we don't cross because we are terrified of His holiness. And so therefore, it's built into the word fear. The word trust could even be built into the word fear. But it's a cautious word. It's something that's an attitude that you have towards a holy God. Let me see if I can explain it this way. Several years ago when I was in college, well, I used to do some dumb things, and we would used to go out and go out into some caves and do some cave exploring. We did not have the lights as you're supposed to, just flashlights that were very rarely successful in staying lit very well. We had ropes and things like that, but really, if I think back on it, it would just qualify in the category of stupidity. We would particularly enjoy going out to the ones they had condemned in the mountains of West Virginia. Now, these were sometimes, there would be a stump. As a matter of fact, the story I'm going to tell you involved that. There was just a stump there, and underneath it was a small hole. It looked like that an animal had dug down under that stump. And we went out one day, it was six of us, and we decided to go cave exploring. And the first fella just got down and put his feet down in that hole and began to work himself until he went out of sight. The next fellow went down. I was number four, so I couldn't turn around and go back. There were two behind me and three in front of me. And I began to tunnel my way down through there. And I've always had sort of a funny feeling in being in close places, because we must have gone maybe 20 feet with just rock and dirt over, just within sometimes touching your nose. You just closed in. I would have to move my shoulders sometimes a different way just to get down through that passageway, that narrow passageway. Well, but when we came out, I remember sensing that we were in a large, vast area. You could sense the cold air and the dampness of it. And I could hear the voices down below me saying, "Listen, Wayne, be real careful now. You're going to have to jump." Now, first of all, I could see nothing. It was absolutely pitch black. I finally found my flashlight and looked down. They were on a ledge below me, probably 12 to 15 feet down, and they were going to catch me as I came down. Well, I jumped. And they kind of grabbed hold of me when I hit the bottom. That's the way they were doing each person. They said, "Now stand right there, move over to the side a little bit, and help us catch the next guy." Well, next guy came down, finally the sixth guy came down. And then we began to start, you could tell that we were going down into that mountain, and we had no idea how deep we were going to get before the day was over. We went to a certain spot, and we stopped, and we looked over to the left, and there was one of these holes that just went out of sight when we put our light down, and any of us could have easily have stepped off into it. And I remember being so awed by the vastness and the understandable type of things of that cave that I began to become very cautious. And I became cautious of every step that we took, every noise that we heard. Everything from that point on was strictly a very carefully laid out pathway. And you see, awe has something to do with that. When you come into the presence of God and you begin to understand who you're dealing with, and when you begin to try to fathom in your mind that man is like a grain of sand on the beach of time, that he's so small and so finite and so far away from what God is all about, then that sense of awe begins to overcome one's spirit, particularly as he approaches his God. And as he does that, there are certain lines he just does not belligerently step across. There is a terror there of the danger that may lie from crossing those lines. Every step must be taken with proper light so that you know that you're going in the right direction. "Who is among you that fears the Lord?" Isaiah says. In other words, is there anybody that truly fears God, that truly trusts God? Now, he says, he begins to tell us now what the characteristics are of a person that fears the Lord. He goes on to say, first of all, the first thing, he obeys the voice of his servant. Now, that's important. Who fears the Lord? Those who obey. Let me write up this on top of this. Who fears the Lord? The characteristic of those who fears the Lord. All right, first of all is those who obey. Now, he says they obey the voice of his servant. What a tremendous application this can be to us, because as we project ourselves into the future, we see that the Lord Jesus Christ is God's servant that comes down to this earth, Son of God, who was born of a virgin, who became the Son of Man. And to me, here is a prophetically beautiful picture as he says that the true Jew, the true Israel, would be made up of people who will look forward to their Messiah, and when He comes, they will obey Him. Now, but if we look at ourselves, because He's already come and we've received Him as our Lord and Savior, we realize that if we truly fear God, we first of all will obey God. If you look with me in John chapter 14 and verse 23, Jesus tells us very clearly what it means to fear Him in a sense of obedience. He says in verse 23 of chapter 14, Jesus answered and said to them, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word. If you love me, and of course, built into that word love is this sense of fear and awe and trust as to who he is. He says, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He says in verse 24, he who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. You see, when you're going through bad times, this is crucial. Because when you're going through bad times, the people that really fear God, the people that really are awed in God's presence, that love God, are going to be the people who are going to be willing to obey Him regardless of their circumstances. And you see, that's the way it is. The way a man trusts God has all to do with how he fears Him, how he obeys Him. All those things are tied together. Who is it that fears the Lord? Does anybody fear the Lord? The people that fear the Lord are the people who obey His servant. And of course, if you obey His servant has told us that we must obey His word. If I'm obedient to this book. Now, you tell me, oh, Brother Wayne, I'm going through a very difficult time right now. It's bad. Matter of fact, Habakkuk had it easy. I've got it worse than him. I mean, it is very bad. Listen, all I can say to you is take what God's word says and stand on it. Don't worry about what you can see or can't see. You've got enough examples in Scripture to show you that God always comes through, that God does care about you. Don't bail out. If your situation is worse than it's ever been, don't bail out. Corinthians tells us that you will not have to go through anything that you cannot endure. The Lord Jesus in you will uphold you, but you must take the step of being willing to obey Him. That's a part of fearing Him, of being in awe of Him, of trusting Him. Our God, to most people, has become so small. How big is your God? Is He big enough to trust when you cannot see and when you cannot think or feel His presence? My wife went through a very difficult time several years ago through some surgery. And she went through a time of depression that lasted over a year almost. And she told me one day, she said, Wayne, if God was alive, I could not feel His presence. I would not know how to tell you that He's alive. And I said, well, Diana, what are you doing? She said, Wayne, I'm just choosing to trust Him when I feel nothing inside of me. Now, I've never had to go through anything like that. Manly Beasley, who has now gone on to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, a great man of faith, called my wife during that time and he said, Diana, I know exactly what you're going through. I've been in those times in my life when I saw nothing. He had 14 different diseases, I think it was, and finally they took his life. He was a man, the kind of diseases, all of them were terminal, and it seemed like God just kept him alive to preach. But Manly made the statement to my wife. He says, I know what you're going through. I know that you can't feel anything, but you've got to remember, you choose to believe God. If you really trust Him, if you really fear Him, if you really are in awe of who He is, you choose it, whether you feel it or not. And don't ever look at what you're seeing. Always trust what God says in His Word. That's the first characteristic of somebody who really fears the Lord, is that he will obey God and His Word. Well, secondly, he says, that walks in darkness and has no light. Now, that's interesting. Thank you, Wayne. I really appreciate you telling me that. You mean if I fear God, then I may have to walk in darkness with no light? You mean there are going to be times in my life when I'm going to have to be in such dark situations that I don't know what to do? Are there going to be those times like Habakkuk went through? You better believe there are going to be. When God appears to be silent, you remember Habakkuk said, God, why are you so silent? Why don't you do something? It seems like all this is happening and you're not concerned. You see, a person who really fears God has to realize there are going to be times that God's going to let him go through those times of darkness. The times when you just want to cry out and say, God, where are you? God, I can't feel you. I can't see you. Where are you? Listen, don't think that because you're going through a dark time that it means that God's punishing you. Remember, we're not destined for God's wrath. Remember, if you're going through a dark time, it's simply because you fear God and God's doing something in that dark time that you didn't understand before. James tells us that in James chapter 1, if you'll just look there just for a second. James chapter 1, and we periodically will refer back to this because it's a great book on trials. It's like a commentary. We'll just go back and forth. And so it may be in a lesson several weeks down. We'll come back to it. because it's important to remember. He says, consider it all joy, brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. A trial can be one with just a little bit of light in it. A trial can be one with a whole lot of light in it. Or a trial can be one when there's no light in it. So you can't ever look as if you're in a period of time that God's out to get you if you're His child. He's already got you. So if you really fear God, you're going to have to face the fact that there are going to be times when you just have no light. And it's in those times that we know exactly what to do, because that is the next thing. When you're in darkness, start off, we obey. We walk in darkness. But then here it says, we trust in the name of the Lord. And we rely upon our God. Now let's look at that. We trust in the name of the Lord. The word for trust there, obviously you know the word trust, but the word trust has the idea of just gluing yourself to someone, of clinging to them. I remember when my children were little and we went to a camp down in South Mississippi, and I was speaking that week, and they let me take my family, and they had a swimming pool. And so while they were having other sessions, I was able to spend time with my family, and Stephen and Stephanie were so little, and I was tall enough I could walk all the way around the pool without going underwater. It was over everybody else's head. And so it was up here about to my chin, and I walked over to the side and I said, Stephen, you want to jump? And Stephen would walk over and look at me and look at the water and look at me and realize how deep it was on me. And he wasn't really sure. And finally he says, Dad, I'm ready to jump. I said, come on, big boy, just jump. And he'd jump out in the middle of that water and I'd catch him. And I remember even to this day, he liked to choke me to death. He just glued himself around me and would not turn loose of me, because he knew I could handle the water, but he knew he couldn't. That's what it means to trust. It means to throw yourself upon the promises of God. It means to wrap yourself around what God's Word says. And it says here, trust in the name of the Lord. Now, folks, the Word of God tells us about His name. We're doing that study in our church right now, knowing the names of God. Lord, I want to know You. Elohim, the mighty God. And you just go on through those names of God. Each one describes an aspect of His character. You say, I have great need in my life. He is your provider. You say, there are great enemies coming against me. He is the Almighty One and your defender. And you can just go right on through the names of God in Scripture. And it says, when you get in those dark times and you don't know which way to turn, run to that which you do know and cling to and to throw yourself around and to hold on to and say, God, whatever You do is right, and I'm going to trust You regardless. God, I'm going to wrap myself around what Your Word says. I'm going to stand on what I know. I'm going to trust in Your name, for You are everything that You have ever said that You were. I'm going to trust You completely. That's what happens. You see, we obey God. What happens? We end up walking in darkness with no light. And immediately we're told what to do. We trust in the name of the Lord. Well, the word rely means, in a similar sense, to cast yourself upon. So you've got clinging to, you've got casting yourself upon. Listen, that means there's no plan B. There's absolutely no plan B. When you come to God, there is no other direction. There is no else. Well, if God doesn't come through, then I'll do this. There's none of that. You just simply throw yourself upon Him. Now, these are characteristics of people who love God. They trust His character, and they know that He's a personal God, that He cares about them. It says, on His God. Not a God, not the God, but His God, your God. Now, what are you doing right now? What's going on in your life? Have you lost your job? Has the economy caused a bankruptcy situation in your life, or something more tragic than that? What are you going to do? Well, the Scripture says when darkness sets in on you, first of all, you make sure that your heart is clean and righteous before God, because here He's talking about the righteous folks. And so to make sure that you've got everything dealt with as far as sin is in your life. The next thing you do is come to His Word and say, God, whatever You say in Your Word, I'm going to stand on. At this particular time, I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm going to stand on Your Word. And God, not only that, I'm going to cling to the character that You've given me. I know that Your Word tells me who You are. I'm going to cling to that. I'm trusting that, God. I'm going to hold on to it. I'm not going to turn loose of it. And not only that, I'm going to rely on you because you're my God. You're my God. And nothing can get to me that doesn't come by you first. God, I fear you and I'm in awe of you and I trust you and I love you and I'm going to obey you and I'm going to follow through regardless of what goes on in my life. Now, that's the characteristics of those who fear the Lord. Who is it that fears the Lord? Well, but let's look at the second thing. What is the contrast to that? You see, when we have no light, then we come to Him who is our light. And His Word becomes a lamp unto our path and a light unto our path and a lamp unto our feet. And so therefore, we know that if we trust Him and what His Word says, we can stand on. Now, that's what you do when bad things happen. You don't try to figure them out. You don't try to solve the situation. You run to God. You run to His Word. You stand on what His Word says. And the light that you're looking for will be in what He shows you, not what you strike up for yourself. You see, people that don't fear the Lord, and certainly He's talking here about Israel. He's talking about those who will be the Pharisees when Jesus comes. Or He's talking about those who will reject Jesus as their Messiah. They don't really fear God. They just have some form of godliness, but they're not going to trust that Jesus truly is their Messiah. He says, it's a beautiful picture here of what's going to happen. But in telling that, He also gives us a living principle that we can live by. He says in verse 11, "Behold, all of you who kindle a fire." Now, let me share this with you. When you're going through a time of darkness, when you're going through bad times, the caution is don't build your own fires. You see, when you have no light, the tendency is for us to jump in there and create some light rather than to come to the one who is that light and trust in His character, trust in His name, obey His word, and rely totally upon Him because He is your personal God. Now, if you don't do that, then you'll start building your own fires. Have you ever done that in your life? Have you ever gone through a financial time that's been a very stressful time and you come to God's Word and God's Word tells you what to do, but you decide that's not the light you're looking for, and therefore you go out and try another area by rekindling your own fire? Folks, I've done that so many times I could write a book on it. If I could tell you how not to do it, I could very well tell you that right now. The times that I was trying to get out of debt and decided to consolidate all of my notes, that sounded like a good thing. Now, I didn't trust God in that. I just went out and did it myself. I'm not saying that's wrong if God leads you to do it, but I'm saying for me it was. And it wasn't but about 3 months after I consolidated all the notes and got my payments down, then my car broke down, then my refrigerator broke down, the other things broke down, things that I hadn't planned on. Before you know it, not only have I got this payment, now I've got these others built on top of this one, and I'm worse off than when I started. You see, it's like sin is always that way. It's like a pit that has quicksand in the bottom of it. And the more you try to get out, the deeper you get yourself in. So when you're in times of darkness, if you really fear God, then you won't question His character, but you run to what He says. You cling to His character of His name, and you trust Him regardless. And you don't look at what you can see, but you trust in what God has said. When you build your own fires, this is when the damage is caused in your life. I remember serving in the land of the Philistines for a while. I call it that. I had some of the dearest friends I've ever had in that particular place, but it was tough. It was really tough. And I remember we were going to bring a man on staff, and we'd prayed about it for a whole year. Well, time came around for us to act on it, and so I had to get it through 3 different committees. If you could get through these committees, you could go right on into heaven. One was the personnel committee. I had to go through them first. And we had revival. I knew God must be in this decision we were about to make. Then we had to take it to the finance committee. And I'm thinking, man, Lord must really be in this. I took it to our deacons, had 15 of them at the time. One man, the cells in his brain that helped him to say yes, never developed. And so therefore, all he could say was no. But when he would say no, he really meant yes. So when we had 14-1 vote, we called it unanimous because we figured he really meant to say yes anyway. You know anybody like that? I took it to the deacons. I said, man, we've been through the personnel committee. We've been through the finance committee. I've been before the Lord for a year. I believe this is right. Everybody's with me so far. Would you be confidential about it? Of course, confidentiality is not sometimes the word. It's in the vocabulary of most church members. And as a result of that, particularly in the leadership of the deacons. And so, therefore, they went home and told their wives. It's okay to tell your wife things, but sometimes in a small town where we were, that was the greatest form of recreation they had in the area. I mean, the telephone. And the more they could talk, the better it was. And so I left on a Saturday to go to do a meeting in another state in Oklahoma. And at that time, we were pretty much two or three states away from there. And I left on Saturday afternoon. We were going to have a business meeting on that Sunday night with me gone. That's kind of dangerous, but all they were going to do was pass out a biographical sketch of this staff member we were going to bring on, and that's all they were going to do. Well, no voting, no discussion, no anything. Just pray about it. We'll come back next week and discuss it and vote on it. Well, I flew out on Saturday, and Sunday afternoon, my wife called. We've always had a little thing. If she calls me on Sunday afternoon, it means one of two things. One, my children are sick, or two, there's a problem in the church. There were many times I'd rather have had her tell me that one of the kids had the flu than I would what she was going to tell me. Well, she called and she said, Wayne, she said, all those people don't like you. You see, there was a group of folks who would meet sometimes in the afternoons and on a porch just to undermine and criticize me. And I'd ride by and wave at them. I knew exactly what was going on. And she said, all those people have stopped coming to church since you've come and don't like you and don't like what you're doing. They're all coming Sunday night. They've been on the telephone. They've worked up a whole group of people. They're going to be there. They don't care about this staff member. They're just going to use this as their opportunity to spread the poison on you. Oh, it infuriated me. And I finally just told them, I said, listen, I'd call off the business meeting, whatever you do. Well, they did. And on Monday, Tuesday of that week, I was just totally frustrated. I was in a time of darkness like I'd never been in my entire life. And I was trying to trust God. At the same time, I was so angry, questioning everything about God. God, why would you let something like this happen? Because I knew how mean some of these people could be. And on Wednesday morning, I got up and got in the Word. And Proverbs 17:14 said to me, the beginning of strife is like the letting out of water. Abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. And it was like God spoke right to my heart. That was the light that I was looking for. But I found it in His Word. I couldn't build my own fire. My own fire would have been to fly back and draw a line in front of the church and say, if you want to go on with God, come on across this line. The rest of you can just stay here and rot. That's what I would have done. That's why God had me so far away. I would have just blown the whole thing wide open. But I came to Him, and when I began to cling to His name, and I began to realize I didn't send myself to that church, God sent me there, and it was His responsibility, not mine. And I said, God, you're going to have to just give me light if I'm going to have any, and if you're not going to give me any light, I'm just going to stand on the fact of your sovereignty, and I'm going to trust you regardless. But when He spoke that verse to my heart, I knew immediately what I needed to do. I needed to drop it. Then God wanted me to go back and not throw out the people to keep my own personal convictions alive. In the sense of that decision. And so I went back with peace in my heart. God had spoken to me. God had given me light in the midst of a dark situation. It's amazing, but about 2 weeks before that, I had preached on this very passage, don't build your own fires. That Sunday morning, they were there. Boy, they had chairs all across the back, had them down the aisles, had them in the front. They were not there to hear the Word of God. They were there because they wanted to see the biggest fight they'd had in that church in a long time. And I was able to walk out 5 minutes before we went on radio in that particular little area. And I shared with our church that day what God had said to me and how God had given me light in that situation. I said, listen, I told you before I left, don't build your own fires. When things happen, don't build your own fires. I said, some of you have burned the woods down. You didn't just build a fire. And I told him, I said, listen, I know what you're here for, but I would admonish you that you need to get your hearts right before God, because there's not going to be an issue and there's not going to be a business meeting. There's not going to be another staff member. God has told me through His Word what I'm supposed to do. Now, the rest is up to you. It was the most incredible thing. I preached so free that particular morning. And I remember that night, I came in, I told my associate, I said, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful if God honored our obedience to Him by just bringing people here so they wouldn't be coming to fight, but they'd be coming just to hear the Word of God? Wouldn't that be wonderful to have the auditorium just fill completely up with people that just love God and wanted to be in the Word, not people that are contentious and love factions in the church? There was a door going into the auditorium, and the door opened this way towards me, but it had a little peephole in it. That's why my nose looks so funny, because many times I've been looking through that peephole and some little kid was going to the bathroom and I couldn't see him. He opened the door and I broke my nose. And I was looking through that little hole to see how many people were out there right before we walked in. And I could not see a place where it was empty. There were people sitting everywhere. They were stacked. And this was on a Sunday night in a little county seat town in a southern state, First Baptist Church. And God kept that auditorium filled on nights until the very day He moved me to Chattanooga. And it was almost in my heart, I was rejoicing, because in the midst of darkness, even though my flesh cried out, I finally came to my senses and I said, if I'm going to go on in this situation, I can't figure it out. I need to die to it, lay it down, and let God be God, and just simply to accept the fact that His ways are not my ways. And in the midst of that, God gave me light. He gave me light through His Word. It wasn't light that I had created for myself. It was light that He had given to me in the midst of a dark time in my life. You see, folks, when you go through dark times, don't build your own fires. Your own fires is what you've come up with. Your own fires is your own wisdom. And what happens to so many of us is we don't trust God anymore. God's not big enough to handle our situation. So we bail out. We don't really fear God. If we had a fear of God, we'd come to His Word. We would come to the fact of trusting in Him and relying upon our God. Well, He tells the result of building your own fire. He says, walk in the light of your fire, the ones that you've built. And among the brands you have set ablaze. And then He said, here's a promise. This you'll have from My hand, and you will lie down in torment. And that word torment means physical and emotional, stressful pain and anguish. Is that what you want in your life? Is that what you're looking for? But listen, those who fear the Lord. Who fears the Lord? The people that fear the Lord are the people that obey Him and His Word, as we saw, are people who, when they walk in darkness with no light, they trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon their God. You can't say that because I fear God, I will never have to go through the dark times. Oh, no. The dark times will be the ways that God shows, first of all, you and then others, whether or not you really trust God. What are you going through right now? How can you relate to this? When you go home tonight, listen, get down on your knees and say, God, I want to ask You to forgive me if you've not been trusting Him. And tell Him why. And come to His Word and say, God, I don't care what comes from this point on. I'm going to stand on what Your Word says. If that's not going to be light enough, then I won't have any light. That's all right with me. God, I trust in Your character and I will rely upon You because You are my God. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much that we can trust You regardless. We thank You, Father, for the picture we've seen in Isaiah, that if we come to You, trust Your Word, that, Father, we can rely upon You, and that, Father, You will be our light. Oh, God, deliver us from ever building our own fires. We praise You, Father, for what we're learning in Habakkuk. We pray, Father, we will truly learn from Him and from You in these circumstances that we have to face in life. In Jesus' name, amen.